Facebook is drawing fresh scrutiny after the Wall Street Journal reported Facebook asked large banks to share financial information about users, things like card transactions and account balances. Facebook says the report is not true, but there's been an avalanche of unquestionable truths about Facebook and Google and Twitter that's buried Silicon Valley in PR problems. Can these companies dig themselves out? Let's go to our weekly guide to the world of tech, Recode. And Kara Swisher is editor-at-large for Recode, also one of the New York Times' newest contributing opinion writers. Her latest piece is headlined, "The Expensive Education of Mark Zuckerberg and Silicon Valley." Kara, you write in the very first line, "I like Mark Zuckerberg, always have, but he and Facebook have been working humanity's last nerve for far too long now." What do you mean?
Yep. Yeah. Well, I think that's pretty self-explanatory, is that you can like people and then see them doing things that are really damaging. And I've been following Facebook since its beginning. And right now it's at a critical period in its history. And it's done some things that are problematic and they have to fix.
Well, the Russians have surfaced again, according to Facebook, trying to interfere in elections. You write every week it's something, and that something is never good. But that something is at the heart of how Facebook works. You know, sell stuff off people's communications, but hands off the content. That's always been how they've worked. Are they going to be able to pull out of this, change that?
Well, you know, they've made some moves yesterday. I did a podcast with Mark Zuckerberg that got a lot of attention
yes.
a couple weeks ago because he talked about letting everybody on this platform, essentially, and he got in trouble for discussing Holocaust
Even
deniers,
Holocaust
deniers.
Even Holocaust deniers.
I mean to be wrong, which I disagreed with. Yeah. But I think yesterday, all of the tech companies started to throw Alex Jones off of their platforms as being damaging and full of hate speech and things like that. But it took them long enough. So they're trying to sort of dial back. But what I think they're beginning to understand is this is not an algorithmic problem. They run media companies, essentially, even if they're new kinds of media companies. And they've got to start thinking that way in terms of what they want on their platform and what they don't.
Yeah. You spoke of conspiracy theorist Alex Jones, his InfoWars website. He of the, you know, Sandy Hook shooting did not happen, you know, was thrown up finally from those platforms. But I've spoken to Facebook defenders about that idea of, you know, you are media. You might need to have an editorial board or, you know, people. And they just absolutely refuse that notion or even, you know, any kind of regulation, even though didn't Mark Zuckerberg once say to you that he thinks of Facebook as a utility?
Yeah, that was in a good sense that they would deliver. He was contrasting himself to the sort of the sexier companies of the day, like MySpace, which has gone by the wayside, obviously, and others. I don't think he was talking about wanting to get regulated. I think he just was reliable, I think, is what he was saying. What I think, you know, what the problem is with the defenders is that Facebook is not the government. And so the government, of course, there's all kinds of First Amendment rights around government and where you're allowed to assemble and things like that. But these are companies. You know, Disney fired Roseanne for something she said. Now, that's not a violation of her First Amendment. She got to say it. She just had to pay the price. And I think that, you know, freedom of speech is critically important, but it doesn't have freedom from consequence. And so that's what Facebook and others, not just Facebook, but Twitter and Reddit and all these things, they have consequences for the decisions they're making. And they're tough consequences, and they're going to have to figure out how to deal with the consequences of what they do.
Your thoughts on the Wall Street Journal reporting that Facebook has talked to several big banks, let's see, J.P. Morgan Chase, Wells Fargo, Citigroup, about getting users' data, things like
that. Well, it's accounts. A little more complex than that. Like in China right now, WeChat, there's a lot of transactions that happen on these chat platforms. And so I don't think it's unusual for them to want to give more and more features to people as they use the service because they want to lock people into them. I don't know if that's an unusual thing so much. The same thing around the stuff that they give information to phone companies. They can't work very well if they're not they don't work well on these phones. And so some of it, it all points to the idea is nobody trusts Facebook, right? I think that's really the more point. They want to expand their businesses and the services they give to their customers. And anything they do now is going to be immediately suspect because of the sieve of information that seems to have come out of it. Mm-hmm. And the fact that the platform was built for just this reason, which is sharing of data. And that brings up big questions of who gets to share it and who monitors it and who has control of it.
And how it gets out. There's another line that you had. You say that Facebook Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube have become the digital arms dealers of the modern age, weaponized social media, weaponized the First Amendment, weaponized civic discourse, and weaponized most of all politics.
Yeah, that's pretty strong.
Yeah.
What I was trying to say is I don't think they're malevolently doing so, and I don't think they meant to do it. It's just their platforms were built to do this. And these issues have been around since the beginning of time, right? This discord and things like that. But what happens on social media is it gets amplified and amplified and amplified to such a point that it allows malevolent parties to take these tools and use them in just the way they were created, which are often bad ways. And that's a lot of, you know, people come up with all kinds of metaphors like cigarette companies, this and that. I think it's more like fire. I mean, you never know if fire is going to burn your house down or it's going to warm your hearth, right? Mm-hmm. It's an old saying. And so that's what it is they haven't understood what the implications of their inventions are. And I think that's what I want them to think about. I want them to think about what the damages that could happen in real life from what they're doing.
Their Pandora's box.
I think it's a good time for them to reflect.
Look, anyone who uses kudzu in an article, I love that. It has spread like kudzu, that southern weed. Kara Swisher, editor-at-large for Recode, contributing opinion writer for The New York Times, thank you.
Thank you.
And listeners, we want your thoughts. Are they kudzu? We would love to hear from you, herenow.org.